All right. Okay, we'll turn our Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. I think we can finish up Daniel 7 today. This is that middle vision, and so it's very, very important. Say it's the middle chapter of the book, but it's the first vision that Daniel receives. And so it's foundational for all, everything else that God reveals to Daniel in the rest of the chapters. And we looked at last time the Son of Man and his coming, and kind of looked at there's kind of a summary there of the entire vision. It's very simple. It is God telling them that there's going to be kingdoms that arise, wicked kingdoms that rise up out of the earth, but the saints of the Lord, the Most High, are going to take the kingdom, and they're going to receive it and have it forever. And so God's plan is there's going to be a time of evil followed by a restoration of God's rulership to the world through his saints. And so that's kind of, it's, you know, sort of a sense of, you think about it, verse 17 and 18 summarizes God's plan for all of the world, for all of history. And it can be summarized in the way that we understand that God made night, and then he made day. There's an aspect of darkness, the evening and the morning for the first day. There's an aspect of the night comes through. And it's interesting, the Jews, that's the way they calculated time, 6 o'clock in the evening. The sun goes down, that's the beginning of the first day, and then the sun coming up. And so there's an aspect of, we have a reminder every single day in the life cycle of this world what God is going to do. He is going to bring light to this world. He is going to establish his kingdom, and we are going to be a part of that. Well, Daniel's excited about that. I say excited. He's encouraged by that, but he wants to know more. He wants to know more about this fourth beast because he was very, very diverse. Let's begin reading in verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the others which came up, before whom 3 fell, even that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. All right, so he wants to know more about this last and final beast. And so that becomes kind of a focal point, really, that he's not only just steering us in this direction for this chapter, but really this is part of the big deal that God's going to focus in on, this kingdom and their rulership, and what's going to happen during this time becomes the focus of chapter 8. It becomes the aspect of Revelation of the 70th week. In Daniel chapter 9, it is the focus of the last revelation in terms of vision in Daniel, in verses 10 through 12. And so this is not a minor deal. This is a main focus. And we're like, well, tell us more about the kingdom. Don't tell us about the night. Tell us about the day. No, he's going to tell us about the night and what's going to take place through that. And there is, interestingly enough, I just want to point it out and move on, but the way this is described, it doesn't tell us, can you identify who this kingdom is by a fourth beast, by being diverse, being dreadful, teeth of iron, nails of brass, devoured, stamped, breaking pieces. It's all an image. And when you have an image, you don't really, unless it's explained, you don't have a clarity there. So what happens is when an image is given, what takes place is now certain, the way the image is described is communicating something about this. We don't get the identity of what this is in Daniel, or even we know that, you know, historically we look at it and say, okay, this is the Roman Empire, and yet the Roman Empire is not the fulfillment of this. There's something yet still future to come. And so we think there's an aspect that's going to be connected to the Roman Empire, but it's still yet a future state. It's going to be a universal kingdom that's going to rule the whole world cruelly. You can gather that from those images, stomping on something. You know, you ever seen an animal or whatnot kind of pounce on something else and try to squish it out? And, you know, or, you know, this has the imagery of, you know, something with a beast that might, you know, like a cow or a bull. You know, if they're angry about somebody, they're going to try to knock them over and stomp them with their feet. So this is a pretty powerful imagery of devouring, stamping. And this type of thing is going to be, it's going to picture what's going to take place. So when what happens is he establishes a theme. We've got the theme of stomping and devouring and being cruel and all this thing. Watch that theme be traced through the rest of these visions. And it'll help you, it helps connect the visions with through these imagery, and we'll see some unique things. So if you pay attention to the details, when you get to chapter 8, we'll see some things that are pretty fascinating. So I want to make sure we'll highlight it now, so when I come back in chapter 8, you'll remember that I said it now. While he's talking about this, he says, I want to know more, and it says, behold, I beheld, in verse 21. And that word beheld is what he was using when he was actually ongoing experiencing the vision of God. And so it seems like he's wanting to know, God, I want to know some more interpretation, not just about the whole dream, but about this one specific thing. And then, boom, God gives him another vision, an ongoing vision of what's taking place. And the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. All right, you can see how this is another recapitulation of the night and the day. The day starts when the Ancient of Days comes, and he gives it over, and it says judgment was given. That doesn't mean that they were judged. Well, in terms of, we think of the word judge meaning as a negative thing. Judgment is bad. Well, judgment for the righteous is good, because God declares that they're righteous. He vindicates. And so another word for judgment in this context would be he vindicates those who are the saints. And God gives that vindication to these who are stomped down, these who were the horn had made war against them and even prevailed over them. He had won. He had triumphed. God's going to take them out from underneath his heel and underneath his feet and exalt them up. And then thus he said, now here comes the explanation of these things. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. So we see it's universal. It shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. So we've got a confederation, kingdom that's universal in reign, and yet there's 10 kings that are ruling, or at least having authority, and one king was not a part of those 10. He comes up last and puts and takes the place of 3 others. I don't know exactly how all that's going to work, but when it happens, people will know. And it says, he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of times. Let me see here if I make sure I... Okay. I'll just kind of work through this after. One of the things we see here that the main aspect in verse 25, he shall speak great words. Just like what was the chief characteristic of the little horn in the vision was that he had a mouth and he was speaking great swelling things. Here it is, his blasphemy against the Most High. Then it says he's going to wear out the saints. Wear out has the idea of boom, 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 boom. You know how sandpaper works? You know, you ever get something that's really sticky and you just got to keep spray something on it, and you take a rag and you just keep wearing and wearing and wearing. And you ever tried to clean something on your wall and you're cleaning and cleaning and cleaning and realize I just wore out the paint? It's just this over repetitious. This is the word God uses to describe the targeting of God's people by the Antichrist. It's going to be repeated over and over and over again. Don't think of this as some initial wave. This will be an ongoing trial in which people are just being worn out and beat down. And he's going to, the Bible says here that he prevails. He makes war with the saints and prevails against them. It's a powerful statement. And it says he's going to think to change times and laws. Now, this word to change, remember that God is the changer of times and seasons, all the way back in chapter 2. He's going to go, basically, attempt to be like God. He's going to try to establish the order of things. He's going to be, his law is going to be as valid as the law of God. Basically, he's going to usurp and try to take all the authority that God has. And then we see that it says, and they shall be given. That word given, wherever it occurs in the book of Daniel for certain, is a statement of God's doing this. And it's mentioned throughout. If you see it's over and over and over and over again, God's in charge, God's in control, he is giving, and God is choosing sovereignly to take his people and to place them in this situation. And yet, we see the mercy of God. He says, until a time and times and the dividing of times. You know what? No matter what trial God places us in, no matter what God chooses for us that is difficult, there is a mercy point. There's a place that God pushes, he puts limits upon Satan's power. His time is short, and God will bring it to an end. And he has a specific number of days, even, that he tells his people that they're going to have to endure this. But he's going to cut it short. He's going to deliver them. Verse 26, but the judgment shall sit. That's the idea of the same thing we saw back in verse 9. The Ancient of Days sitting. He's ready to take judgment. And they shall take away his dominion and consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given, there's God's sovereignty again, to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominion shall serve and obey him. And so, as they it's given to the saints, but they serve him, which I think is referring to the Son of Man. Every one of them will obey him. So, I want us to just, in the last few minutes we have, let's look back to Revelation chapter 13. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation 13. I want us to see how Revelation helps us to understand what's going on here in this passage. And it's helpful to see how the book of Revelation is built on what God has revealed in Daniel. I'm going to read here in verse 1, it says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea. Okay, that sounds like Daniel. The four beasts rose out of the sea. Now he's saying, I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having him seven heads and ten horns. There's the ten horns. And Daniel didn't tell us it had seven heads, but he told us it was diverse from any other beast he'd ever seen. Seven heads sounds pretty diverse to me. It says, upon his horns, ten crowns, which God has already told us the ten horns represent ten kings. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like unto a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Isn't that fascinating? Have we seen images of those before? Who was the first beast in Daniel chapter 7? A lion. The second beast was a bear, thank you. And then the third beast, a leopard. And so we've got all three of those. This is a amalgamation of all the wicked kingdoms that have preceded it. And it says, and the dragon gave him power and his seat and his authority. We know from chapter 12 that the dragon is Satan himself. And interestingly enough, the dragon is described as having seven heads. And so there's a connection there between the dragon and that serpent and this beast. And we see that they're intimately connected because Satan has established this Antichrist. He is giving him power to do what he needs to do. We see the universality in verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. They're following, they're respecting aspect of his authority. Like, whoa, he had received a deadly wound and comes back to life. We must follow him. He is Antichrist. He is like Christ, and yet he's completely against him. In verse 4, and they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Remember what the name of Mishael is? Who is like unto my God? So you have this background here of who is like the Lord. Now they're saying, who is like the beast and the Antichrist? Who is able to make war with him? Who can stop him? He is militarily successful. Of course, that's what God said, that God gave him to make war with the saints, and to no one could, and they were placed underneath him. Verse 5, we see his mouth becoming the prominence, like Daniel 7. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 40 and 2 months. 40 and 2 months equals 3.5 years. If you're taking 6 months at a time, that would take us with a time, times, and half a time, and explain those aspects. So we know it's a 3.5 year period of time. He opened his mouth to blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of Lamb, of the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So John's revelation is just a furtherance, a greater manifestation of what Daniel saw in these things. You can start to see the connections that are between them. It's like, oh, wow. Here it is, the explanation of what God intends to do. This is going to be an awful time upon the earth. And yet God says there will be a time, there will be an end, and that he will bring us into the kingdom. And so, you know, whatever we go through, if God's ordained that we should go through persecution, we should go through time of trial, it is so important that we have hope. Hope is tension. It's waiting. It's waiting for God to do what he said he is going to do, and waiting for a day. There's so many times we ought to look back. Keep a catalog in your mind. How many things in your life you said, man, I can't wait till I can get there and do that. Maybe it was driving. And all the way back, and you're like, oh, man, I can't wait to do this. You know, now you look back, and man, you've been driving for 30 years. You don't even think about it. You know, there's been many of things we've waited for. There's tension, and now we're there. We're going to look back someday in glory and say, oh, yeah. Remember that little blip of existence way back then when we put our... I don't think it's going to be quite like that. We'll remember what Jesus Christ has done for us forever and ever. But there's a point, what I'm trying to make is, everything that seems so big now will seem small then, because we're in glory. And may God give us the grace to stand in the evil day until then. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for your promises. Would you use this word, this vision that has been sealed up for the end, to strengthen us and prepare us, Lord, for dark days that may could and could come to us, Lord. We're not all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Lord, may we steel ourselves in our hearts towards the day when the wind blows against us and we've got to go upstream, Lord, in a way that we've never had to do before. Lord, give us that grace that only you can give, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.